Welcome to the Sunday morning broadcast of the Arizona Fellowship of the Fishermen Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermanministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the service here in Arizona.
This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. This is the day that the Lord has made. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. Day, this is the day that the Lord has made. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. Shall run and not get weary. There shall run. soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. One more time. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. Let's do one more. Lift Jesus higher, lift Jesus higher, lift him up for the world to see. Instead of I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Lift Jesus higher, lift Jesus higher, lift him up for the world to see. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Lift him up, lift him up, lift him higher. Praise his name, all you people. Lift him higher than he's ever been before. Lift Jesus higher, lift Jesus higher. Lift him up for the world to see. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Lift him up, lift him up, lift him higher. Lift him higher than he's ever been. Praise his name, all ye people, to the higher than he's ever been before. Lift Jesus higher, lift Jesus higher, lift him up for the world to see. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Lift Jesus higher, lift Jesus higher, lift him up for the world to see. Instead of I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Lift him up, lift him up, lift him higher. Lift him higher than he's ever been before. Lift him up, praise his name, all ye people. Lift him higher than he's ever been before.
Good morning, everybody. So, last week we were in Texas, and for me that's always a time of refreshing, of chastening, of learning, and this time was no different. I had the opportunity to talk to one of my sisters in the Lord, actually a few of them, but one in particular. And when I was talking to her, I was telling her about, I can understand how difficult it is, and that sometimes you need to see your sin in order to be able to move forward in the Lord. She got really angry, and she said something that has kind of stuck with me and I've been thinking about. She she said we need to put our eyes back on Jesus. And she's right. Because when we're looking at our sin, even if it is something that is something that brings us back to the Lord and to our recognition of a need for a Savior, our eyes are no longer on Him. They're on us. Another of my sisters in the Lord talked to me this week about faith, His grace, His mercy. I was listening to Philip preach this morning and I thought maybe he heard some of what was told to me this week, because he was talking about it. I'm drawing a blank. That's right. It was stepping into, it was about God's works, not our works. And this week I was talked to about works righteousness and how easy it is for us to be doing things that we think are right, but it is in our own ability. It is things that we are able to accomplish. I was listening to Philip's testimony this morning about his struggle. The things that he did, the works he did. And I know he's talked of it before, is the works he did that somebody told him, oh, you had it all together, you had a plan. And he was telling us this morning pretty clearly, no, the works I did were completely wrong and completely not the works of God. But in spite of that, when I put my eyes on the Lord, His works changed everything. And for me, the last week has been something that has been like, I'm seeing something. I'm not quite sure how to put it into words yet. But I'll say that the idea of it's not about my works. There's not a thing I can do in and of myself that is anything or worth anything. But through Jesus Christ, all things are possible. And if I put my eyes on Him and I trust Him, leaning not unto my own understanding, then all things are possible. So all you have to do is turn your eyes upon Jesus. Paul Miller, the testimony of his life at the end was that he preached God is good, the goodness of God. He didn't preach about what a wretched man he was. He knew he was. Anyone who knew Paul as a man knew he was a wretched man. But that didn't matter. Because he didn't live in that. He preached the goodness of God. And that is what matters. That is the only thing that matters. God is good. Another thing that happened this last week that I think may tie in with this is that in the whole idea of looking inward and looking at your sinfulness, I had been prayed for. I had intense pain in my feet to the point that I could barely walk. And Brother Steve prayed over me. And he said, walk around. So I walked around. And he said, how's it feel? I said, better. It's not 100%, but it's better. He said, we did not pray and ask the Lord for a partial healing. We asked for 100% for full healing. So go outside, walk, and come back. And it was it was a chastening. It was one of those moments when somebody says something that it's quickened in you, that it's your unbelief. And I went outside recognizing it was my doubt and unbelief that was causing me not to receive that great thing the Lord had for me. So I went outside and I prayed and I walked. By the time I came back to see Steve, my feet were fine. There was no pain at all. Well, by the next morning, I was starting to feel pain again. And I was fighting with everything in me not to feel it because I didn't want it back. And the Lord showed me that it was doubt. And I had talked to Brother Steve about the idea of when I was praying in the morning about how to get through this, because I know that it's on me. It's my doubt. I'm receiving doubt instead of receiving the gift God has promised me. I have to choose to walk in it in spite of what I see and feel. And I had talked to Brother Steve and he said, I told him the scripture that came to mind was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, which is a story that is one of my favorites in the Bible. Because God delivered them. And that God is my God. I serve the same God that they did. And He loves me as He loved them. And if I turn my eyes to Him as they did, He will deliver me as He delivered them. And in that recognition, I also realized that I didn't believe that God could love me like He loved them. That He wouldn't do that for me because, oh, what a wretched sinner I am. I'm not as good as them. I didn't believe. I didn't whatever. And Brother Steve said, their testimony in that moment is that they believed. There's not a history written up about them showing their entire life of faith. But in that moment they chose to believe, and you have to do the same thing. And I chose to believe, and since then I have not had pain in my feet. Praise God. And it is by Jesus Christ alone. It is not because, ooh, and now I believe. No. The word says, He has given us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. It is His ability. It is His faith. And I'm standing in that and receiving that blessing. The same God who loved and delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is delivering me. And He will deliver you if you turn your eyes to Him. So do so.
Wonderful. good morning, everybody. I don't know why we seem to want to make things more difficult for us than we need to. But it seems that we, as humans, well, that's really not a good thing. People, let's get away from the human word. We as people seem that, boy, if there's an easy way, let's do it the hard way, because that just seems more challenging. It reminds me a little bit of the old days of playing computer games, and please, you know, for the older folks, you may not get this, but some of the younger folks are going to maybe relate to this, but back in the day, on these PC games, you had the ability to sort of go into the console and tweak it a little bit and give yourself a little extra ammo or a little extra shields. Or there's one particular cheat code I liked. It was called God Mode. God Mode was awesome because you had unlimited ammo and you couldn't get hurt. I mean, you could get shot a million times and it just bounces off. That's how I like to play the games, you see, because there was no dying. There was no reset and respawning. You just walk in the room, go, hi, guys, and they shoot you, and you just laugh and blast them away. And you have all the guns at your disposal without limitation and all full ammo. You can use rocket launchers, and you just never run out. See, that was the way I like to play the game, you know. People would rag on me because you play in God Mode. I played it on the most difficult level. Pfft, why? That just seems dumb. I mean, takes longer. It's frustrating. You have to do it 500 times to get to the next door. I mean, just didn't seem practical when God Mode was available. You see, you plug it in and boom, go. Pfft, there you are. You can play the whole game. That just seemed the most practical way to me. Reminds me of Dad and Steve playing golf on the old Amiga or whatever. They were playing it back in the day. And Dad had unlimited mulligans and Steve had none. You know, it was Grace Golf versus Works Golf. I like Grace Golf, okay? Because you screw up the shot, try again. It's like God Mode in the game. You walk in the door, the guy hits you in the face, and you laugh at him, you know? You could do that, or you walk in the door and die instantly. And you get to start over. I know that that's kind of maybe a silly example, but for some reason, Christians think they have to make their walk with God more difficult. And that's what I don't quite understand, and I say that somewhat hypocritically, because I am a guy who has frustrated that principle many, many times in my life. And I'm ashamed to say that. But I don't want to do that anymore. I certainly don't want to walk there anymore. And I look out and I see people that call themselves Christians opting to walk in a state of frustration because it's more challenging. I listen to people preach and I hear, you know, this constant refrain, I don't think it's an intentional thing, but it's a constant refrain going back to living the living right. You can't live right. You can't do it. I mean, don't you understand that you can't? You frustrate the grace of God when you refer to living right. You can't do it. You know, if you believe God, you don't have to do stuff to prove it. Do you get that? If you believe God, if you have faith in God, if you trust God, you don't have to do things to show that. It's going to be evident anyway. If you're doing things or you're trying to create things or you're trying to work out how to be a certain thing, then you've missed it. You're coming from the outside trying to affect the inside, where what you have to do is change, let God operate on the inside. The outside is going to take care of itself. I've talked many times about my lemon tree out the front. You know, it doesn't stay up at night saying, I got to make a lemon, got to make a lemon, got to make a lemon, because I might not be a lemon tree if I don't make a lemon. It's lemons. There's lemons on it. That's how I know it's a lemon tree. If I walked out there where there was no fruit on it, I wouldn't know what it is. If I walked out there and it had apples on it, it must be an apple tree. But it's not. It's a lemon tree, so I walk out and there's the lemons. It just makes the lemons because that's what it does. I mean, it didn't go to school to make lemons. It just makes lemons. If you believe God and you trust God, then faith is going to be evident in your life. There's no mechanics that you're going to do to make that happen. It just is. So the key, just believe God. We see this example in Scripture. We see over in John where Jesus has just done these miracles and the guys walk up to him. I say the guys, the people walk up to him and say, what do we have to do the works of God? He says, that's easy. Believe on him who he has sent. There was no other thing. You go over and see in John 3 where Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, and you see that Jesus didn't come to condemn the world because it was condemned already because it didn't believe on Christ. So what is it that we need to do but just believe? Believe God. Whether that's believe God that he is God and he can fix your feet, or that is believe God and he can clear up that sinus infection, which is what he did for me and is doing for me. Or whether he can provide whatever it is you need to accomplish that which he's given you to do. I mean, there are no limitations in God. You understand that? Amen. There are no limitations with God. Just like if I plugged in doo-doo-doo God mode and Duke Nukem, or whatever it was I was playing at the time, there was zero limitations. There was absolutely nothing any of the enemies could do to impact my moving forward. I was going to move forward, and I was going to kill every single one of them at my leisure. I mean, there was absolutely nothing they could do about it. And what I hope you can grasp from that very poor example, really, your walk with God can be exactly the same way. The Bible says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Just think of that for just a moment. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? If God be for us, who can be against us? Who can stand before God? Could the nation of Egypt stand before the Almighty God? Could the walls of Jericho stand before the Almighty God? Could the king stand before the Almighty God when Elijah spoke to him? Could the 50 men and then the other 50 men stand before the Almighty God when they came and confronted Elijah? No. Tell me a place in all of history where anyone could stand before God and win. There is no example. There is no testimony of anyone standing and defeating God, is there? If God be for you, who can be against you? Oh, goodness, I have so many bills. So you're telling me that your finances are greater than God. Or maybe it's that you're just not good enough. So your sin is greater than the blood of God. Oh, that must be the case. Well, maybe God just doesn't understand. Well, that doesn't fly either because it says he was touched with all the infirmities of mankind, yet without sin. So guess what? He does know what it's like. See, there is no excuse you can bring to bear that gives you any space to void the fact that it's your unbelief that prevents you from accomplishing that which God is giving you to do. Period. It's not God. It's not his inability to affect change in the situation. It's your lack of faith. And it's your pride, and it's your rebellion. That's what it is. See, God is a good God. Sue touched on that. God is a good God. He had a messed up situation when Lucifer rebelled. And he created a solution to that situation with Adam in the garden. You understand that God recreated the entire earth to solve that problem and redeem mankind. That's a good God. And knowing that if it was up to each individual person to do things right, we would all fail. God says in his word that as with one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. The same way with one man's obedience, many can be made righteous. So in the same way Adam's fall condemned all of mankind, Jesus' obedience and sacrifice on the cross redeems all of mankind if you believe. Amen. Believe. There is no other caveat. It's just believe. So why is it that if it's so simple and God has made it so simple that we as Christians, so called, want to make it so stinking complicated? It's pride. It's just pride, really. I'm trying to think of another thing, but no, it's just pride. Paul says, and this is a scripture that sticks with me. He says that if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And that lust of the flesh is the unbelievable desire to justify itself. Just ask yourself, when you're confronted with something, correction, let's say, what is the first thing that comes to your mind? Is it, oh, thank you. Boy, I was really wanting to get that fixed. Or is it, but it's not. What is it? What is the first reaction? See, the first reaction, if you're going to be truthful with yourself, the first reaction is you want to justify yourself. You really, 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 really do. That's the lust of the flesh. That is what you put off. See, if you walk in the Spirit, you're going to receive the correction. Why? Because you believe God. You believe he's a good God. You believe he's trustworthy. You believe that he's righteous in everything, in every single instant. He is righteous. And if you believe that, then you receive the correction. And whatever feelings this flesh or this carnal man has, they're irrelevant. They don't matter. It's just, why give that which seeks your destruction any space? Doesn't make any sense. But that seems to be what most Christians want to do. They seem to want to make their walk with God as difficult as possible. Paul says, let's lay aside the weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, doesn't he? He says, lay that away. Take that off. Why are you trying to run a race with all that on you? Makes no sense. Doesn't make any sense. So why do you do it? Why do you do it? If Jesus' blood was sufficient, it was sufficient. If by his stripes we were healed, then we were healed. Do you see? I mean, that's not complicated, is it? And boy, I bet you there's other, but there's a bunch of buts going on in people's heads right now, aren't there? I mean, be honest with me. But that's the unbelief. That's what we are to labor against. Unbelief, because it's unbelief that separated God's people from him. Put that off. You see, that but mentality is what slams on the brakes of God's provision for your situation. You don't have to walk there. You don't have to live there. You don't have to live your life in that place of settling. We had an interesting ride home from Texas. Our truck lost the AC on the way to Texas. Wasn't so bad. Weather was pretty decent. Not a big deal. Get to Texas. Nice in Texas. No big deal. Now, as you come down out of the mountains, it gets a little warmer. Start getting into New Mexico and Arizona. You start hitting triple digits. That traffic, no matter which way you go. It's a little warmer. Construction. I wasn't feeling too good. I had been dealing with the sinus infection. Hey, look, I had people pray for me. I was trusting God. I was going to get through it. Because truthfully, I don't want to just... Look, I have nothing against doctors. Don't take me wrong. God uses doctors too, okay? But this is ridiculous. I don't need to go... God should be able to handle... This is my thinking. Why am I... I don't accept this. See, in the past, I just have small sinuses and I just have to accept it. No, I was almost going to say a bad word. No, I do not have to accept it.
Amen.
And this wasn't just a, boop, there it goes, I'm perfectly fine. No, this was a battle. 16-hour battle. As we're pulling into Phoenix, and I'm not terribly personable at this point in time.
Sorry.
My face hurts so bad. I'd had, I don't know how many hours at this point of wind smacking me on the side of the face with my window open on the side that hurt. I was awake. It's funny how pain will do that. But I was praying. I was getting angry and mad. Not at God. Certainly wasn't getting mad at God. I was mad at the enemy. I was mad at myself. And it was to the point where it had been tolerable, and then it got really just not tolerable. And I was at the point where I just wanted to crawl into a fetal position and die. A little dramatic, I know, but... If y'all know me, you know, you get a chuckle out of that. But my little girl says, you know, she's from the back seat, do you want us to pray for you again, Daddy? I said, yes, please. And we'd been praying. I mean, I said, yes, please. And so we all prayed again, and it wasn't a couple miles, and... You know, I felt this sort of release of pressure in my face. And the bulk of that agony went away. I mean, 90% of it. And I said, thank you, Jesus. I believe I started to cry as I was driving down the road. For the goodness of God. Because God is good.
Amen.
And I don't have to settle. Amen. I don't have to settle. I don't have to settle in any single way. I don't have to settle. I don't have to accept a limitation, some perceived limitation of God's ability to do something in my life. That is absolute, I'm about to say a bad word again. I'll use Paul's vernacular. That is absolute ox dung. I could just see David now. Ooh, gosh, he's really big. Maybe not. That's not the example we have in the scripture, is it?
No.
And it's not like David was the only one. If you read through, there are other great men of valor that they talk about, which is a pretty cool thing when David talks about his men of valor. And all the giants were wiped out by various men of valor. So David wasn't the only one to kill a giant. There was a lot of guys that went and killed giants. Wiped them out. I could, you know, I look at David, or look at Moses. We get to the Red Sea. Oh, crap, it's over. We're done. Let's go die. No, what did he say? He says, stand still. Stand still. Behold the deliverance of your God. Something along those lines. It's not an exact quote, but it's the principle of it. Stand still. Watch what your God's going to do. And I've referenced this contrast many times between David and Saul. Saul never waited for God's miracle. He always bailed before God could work the work. Don't be like Saul. Be like David. You screw up, admit it. You have a problem, go to the one who can really solve it. Because you can't. But God already has. That's the cool thing. If you believe the truth about God, he's yesterday, today, and forever. He's the Alpha and Omega. He doesn't change. He created the heaven and the earth. He said, let there be light. This is the God we serve. He said, if he be for us, who can be against us? This is our God, right? Then what is there that can stand before you if God is with you? Now, I understand that some people are just going to have a hard time wrapping their head around that. You know why? Because you still don't believe God. And you're still trusting your own intellect, and you're still trying to filter everything through your understanding so that you can grasp it before you can believe it. Guess what? You're going to be crippled in your walk with God forever until you stop that and just believe God. Amen. Let the understanding come later. Just believe God.
Power. As for my people Israel.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.